World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh, man. A lot on my plate here today. Look, communion. We're going to take some communion. I think Joe got up out there. Didn't Joe get up out there? We're going to take communion. And I went on a little spiel there before we went live. Look, again, folks, wherever you're watching, whatever platform you're watching this on right now, whatever that platform might be, if you want to interact with us, you have to go to Coach Dave Live. Spencer, let's walk them through it one more time because people constantly send them an email, especially after the show, and they've said, golly, I wanted to say this, and I don't know how to say this. Okay, look. Now, Spencer, again, if they go on their computer, they just click on Join the Queue. Is that right, Spence?
Yes, sir.
Folks, see that thing right there? If you're watching on Facebook or my face space or your space or his space or our space or their space or wherever, all you got to do is click on that Join the Queue. Go to Coach Dave Live and click on Join the Queue. When you join the queue, it's going to pop up. And you're going to pop up and you're going to click on and you're going to join. Now, Spencer, another good question. Do they have to have downloaded Google Meet to do this? Only on the phone, right?
Only on the phone.
Only
yeah.
If they're watching it on their phone.
And when they go to CoachDaveLive.com on their phone and they click that button, it will take them to the Google Meet app.
There you go. Did you hear that, folks? So see that thing, join the queue. You click on that. It'll take you to the app. That'll download to be able to do this. But all these guys that you're looking at in here, they've joined the queue here at Coach Dave Live. There are people watching on, as I said, they're watching on a lot of different platforms. But if you want your two cents to be heard, you're going to have to download, join the queue. Now, there's also a dial-in number, but you can dial in, you listen there. I don't think you can communicate there. Okay, cool. So we're getting ready to do communion. And, I was on Patriot Party News last night, and I was also, I want to thank Diane, hang on, I'm going to get there. I want to thank Diane Ketterman for doing her prayer vigil last night, but there's something that I discovered in the prayer vigil, and this is not a criticism, this is some coaching. I saw a great, great need again last night, folks, because Diane, thank you again, Diane, for doing that prayer vigil, and yes, we're going to do one. Here's what I saw. A lot of people need to listen to Coach Dave Live. Because before we got into the prayer session, people were asking questions or dialoguing. What do you think's happened here? What do you think's going on here? What about this? And what's happening here? It goes on and on and on. Because where are people getting what we're doing here, which is analyzing the times in which we live so we know what it is that Israel's supposed to do? Israel meaning, in my opinion, meaning the church, right? So, I don't care about... I don't get any money if somebody joins Coach Dave Live. I'm not out trying to get rich off of getting supporters, whatever that means. Certainly, we appreciate your financial support, but that ain't what this is about. I don't get any advertising revenue. They threw me off YouTube. Not even on you. They threw us off YouTube. So we're on a lot of different platforms. But friends, we only the truth will set people free. And like it or not, we're not afraid here to discuss the truth. Whatever your theological belief might be, God bless you. Can you defend it? Huh? If you can't defend it, why the hell do you believe it? And who told you that? Right? Okay, so let's get rolling here. This is something I never envisioned myself doing, really. And we got them from sea to shining sea. We got them. I'm just telling you, I ain't bragging. Around the world that are listening to Coach Dave Live. And what do they like about it? They're learning to think on their own rather than what the 6-foot icicle in the pulpit told them. Said, who told you that? And why do you believe it? That's the theme here at Coach Dave Live. I don't know. Can I tell you this right now? I don't know if I'm a discipline. I don't know what I am. Is there a rapture? Can I tell you this? Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. I'm not going to spend time arguing about it, because work while the sun shines, for a day cometh when no man can work. I only have so much time to expand the kingdom while I'm here. That's all I have. I ain't watching no time clock. All I know is if you dispensationalists out there believe there's a rapture coming, how the hell you sit on your ass all the time? Why don't you sell everything you have and get out there and warn everybody? Why don't you stand on a street corner and hold a sign, the end is near, if you really, really believe that? Well, I believe you really, really believe it, but it comes back to the same thing, coaching. So we have an attitude of this. If you see that your house is on fire, you have two options. Go outside and watch it burn, or throw some damn water on it. And what are we taught in American Christianity? Go outside and watch it burn. It's God's plan. It's just going to burn down. Don't even try to put it out. And that's without even getting into theology. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. Come on, pastors. Come on. Engage the culture, damn it, will ya? That's the cry, Coach Dave Live. I don't have time to argue over theology. I don't have time. I'm not going to waste my time doing it. 42,000 different denominations, because people love to have family feuds. Family feud, yeah. They love to argue with other Christians over theology. When they find out, as this happens here at Coach Dave Live, when we begin to step on their theology and ask them to defend it, they leave. They leave. I'm feeling it today, man. I'm getting ready to go. So communion is very, very important. You wouldn't believe the number of emails I've got from people saying, wow, Coach, wow, on Giants. On the couple shows that we've done on Giants, Nephilim, the wows I got from people. I never knew that. Coach, I've been in church my whole life. I never heard any of that. You with me? Yeah. Look, it's a habit. I'm not looking for reinforcement. Chad gets on me all the time because I'm saying, you with me? How am I doing? It's just. Look, I'm doing the best I can. I'm not here to please you. When I say to you guys out there, am I doing okay? Here's what I'm asking. Am I making myself clear? I don't care whether you agree with me. I'm not apologizing. I'm asking, am I making myself clear? Because if I'm not, say something. Are you getting it? You get it. That's what I do. I'm a teacher, right? In the classroom, I try not to move on to everybody. Got it. Everybody knew 2 + 2 = 4. I didn't move. Are y'all getting it? Y'all understand now? 2 + 2 = 4. All right, let's move on. And how many times does it happen in the queue that somebody comes in, they want to say something, and I keep flapping my jaws, and then about 5 minutes later, they can't even remember what it was they wanted to talk about. You know what I'm talking about, right? So this is really fluid, and it's not about so much. I'll just shut up. I'm going to take communion here. And by the way, you have any idea how sacred communion is supposed to be? How sacred it really, really is. You ever been in a Catholic church and you see, I don't know, this. In the Catholic church, I'm not making fun, relax. In the Catholic church, the priest gets up front and holds it up and they prepare it. Have you ever been in there and seen the priest drop the element, drop the body and blood? Have anybody ever seen that? And he drops it. And do you know what they do afterwards, after they drop it? They go get holy water and they clean up the area where it fell. They believe it's that holy. They believe that this actually becomes the actual body of Jesus Christ. Transubstantiation. Now, do you believe that? I don't know. Do you have to believe it? I don't know. But the Bible said that there's healing in this taking of communion, this body and this blood. And think how lightly we take it, really. And I bet you if you go to Evangelifish Church, I bet they don't even do communion. Hey, Ray, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. You're one of the pastors in here. How often do you take communion, Ray?
Church. We do it every Sunday. We do it with Pastor Matt Torella, and we do it every Sunday.
Every Sunday. Every Sunday. I want just as a test to all you good evangelical fish out there, does your church take communion every Sunday? I'm going to tell you this. When we used to go to World Harvest Church, Michelle and I, and I love Pastor Rod Parsley and got our salvation there. I'm not being critical. 5,000 people in that thing. You think we took communion every week? Do you think they took communion two services? You think they took the time to take what? Jesus said it's really important we do this. He says, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. Can I blow you away here, Gino? You can do it at home with your family. You ever do that? Do it at home with your children? Or is it just something you do when you go to church? We do that in church. We take communion the third Sunday. Really? All right. A lot of religion gets creeping in there. I know I'm making you all mad. I don't care. Okay, Joe's in here. Joe Carrico got up. It is 4:11 where Joe Carrico is. 4:11. Gets up every Friday to do this for us. Yeah, he dropped off 4:11. Hey, Joe, do you take a nap later on?
Often.
Me not too. I, you know what? This drains me. Michelle, tell you, I try to get a nap every. This show drains me. Of course, I've been up a couple hours already. Anyway, a lot going on. I'm gonna shut up. Let's get into communion so we can really, really get into it. Okay.
My church has a Friday morning prayer breakfast that starts at 5:30. So sometimes you just roll right into there.
Yeah, man. Hey, Joe, let me ask a question. How often do they take communion?
They don't do a corporate communion. They have communion at every function, and you go and take it yourself in the corner or in the back or in the front, wherever you want. So it's always there. The bread and the grape juice is always there. They don't. If they have Katie Souza or somebody, and we're going through deliverance or something like that, and sometimes there's a lot of communion taken with a process that where the communion can have a real effect on your spiritual life, and we need to realize it's a tool.
Joe, somebody just put in Jeff put in there. He takes it with him when he goes. He takes communion with him wherever he goes. But every day he takes communion. Where did we get into this corporate communion thing?
Right.
Who told us that, and why do we do it? Wow. Go ahead, Joseph.
About 5 years ago, Coach, you had a challenge for us. You said Matthew 26:26 for 26 days, no matter if you're with your family or if you're alone or whatever. And I was alone in my little dinky apartment in Denmark and my little studio, and I didn't realize I could do that. It never crossed my mind.
And that's something that, if we communion with the Lord, right? Communion with the Lord, you can do it on your own.
And I made it, and I remember one night at about 11:55, I had forgotten to take it that day. I jumped out of bed and went and took it and got back in and said, well, I just made it, you know. But that really woke me up.
We've turned this into legalism, right? Legalism. What are we doing on the third Sunday? And legalism. Jesus said, as often as you do this. He didn't say when you do it on Sunday, whenever your pastor says we're going to do this is communion. No. Folks, you can take communion right in your house. Michelle, we need to take more communion together. Okay, go ahead, Joe. Because even right now, people say, get on with it. I'm telling you.
Well, just real quick, the Seventh-day Adventists do it quarterly, at my recollection.
Okay. All right. I'm making more enemies here, Joe. Go ahead.
So the reading this morning is Jeremiah 31:31-34.
Can I read it, Joe?
Sure, it's your show.
Can you see it to read it? Okay. Sometimes you have trouble.
Yeah, I see it fine.
Okay. Go for it, brother. Shut me up. Put a sock in my mouth as my wife.
This is one of those sets of verses they don't read in the synagogues. This is prophetic about our Lord.
Yes, sir.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel.
Lord.
And with the house of Judah.
He made a new covenant?
Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was husband unto them, saith the Lord.
Wow.
You know, back then we were still the bride, a husband unto them. Think about that. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Wow. Hey, Joe, can I ask you a real simple question here? Okay, let me ask you a real simple question. I'm going to make some of you mad. I don't care. I don't care. How does this apply to Israel? Go back up, Joe. Go back up. Fundamental communion. Folks, it's important for you to get it. Behold, the Lord comes, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant. A new covenant with the house of Israel. Now, are the Jews in Israel under that new covenant? Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers. In other words, I made a deal with their daddies, but that doesn't apply now because it's a new deal. They broke that old deal. And now they made a new deal with me. And that old one that they made with their daddies, that one ain't good anymore. I came and I cleaned it all up and I paid the price and I made a new covenant. Now what says Joe, am I twisting words here? Not according to the covenant made with their fathers in the day that I took them out of the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which that covenant they broke it. Although I was a husband under them, said the Lord, but this shall be the covenant I'll make with the house of Israel. It looks to me like there's a new covenant. I mean, somebody help me out here. Somebody help me out.
Yeah, we're adopted in.
Huh?
We're adopted.
Everybody is adopted in.
Everybody. We're all adopted
in. If you're not adopted in, you ain't in. It's a new deal. You got to sign a new contract. The old one wasn't any good. They broke it. But you can come back and be new one. But there's a new deal here. It's not birthright anymore. It's not DNA. It's not lineage. Not anymore. No. Ain't no special people to God. His children are those who have become his children that are by adoption. I'm sorry, Joe. No, I'm not sorry.
No worries, Coach. Joe, if you could bring me to verse 34, please. And they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more. Every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more.
Know the Lord. Do those in Israel know the Lord? So, well, they're going to supernaturally. They're going to supernaturally. All right. All right. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you again with gratitude in our hearts. Come to you for communion. We come to you here for fellowship. We come to you remembering the new covenant, what you have done. And we are so grateful, Lord. We cannot comprehend the creator of everything, giving his only begotten son, shedding his life, putting it all at risk for us so that we who believe in him may have everlasting life and not perish. You gave your son to be a bridge to bring us back to you, Lord. After the fall, part of an amazing plan, because you knew what was going to happen was going to happen, and you knew this was the way. And we don't comprehend, but we are grateful. And we academically understand, we understand love, we're learning to surrender to you, but we really don't comprehend what happened, I don't think. And Lord, we know that this that you have told us to do this in remembrance of you, and we are going to do that this morning. We know this is a holy moment, so we ask that you forgive our sins and our transgressions.
Amen. Amen.
And Lord, remember that this can be, as Coach reminded us, the meal that heals. And we are also reminded that this is a participatory act where we can participate in the new covenant. It isn't just something historic. It's alive with us now. And as we're praying, Lord, we're reminded that we have tens of thousands of Americans and allied navies and air forces and whatever that are in action, lives at risk in bringing freedom to Iran, bringing down the terror threat that illegal international regime has been pushing on and imposing on the world for 47 years. So continue to help the targeting and help it bring down their military infrastructure. Save the innocent lives there, Lord. Let there be no collateral damage, no collateral loss of life. And those that cling to power, let them flee. Bring fear into their hearts and let them flee north to Russia or wherever they can. Remove them from that land or remove them from the planet, Lord. But do not let this regime remain. Let the people of Iran enjoy their freedom. Let them no longer be executed for protesting, executed for not having a hijab on, executed for wanting to denounce their faith and become Christian. Let them be free, Lord. And let our citizens here understand really what these people have been going through. Let them understand that what the people in Iran and Venezuela and these other places and Cuba right now that's about to become free, let them understand, let the people here that object to President Trump doing what he's doing, let them see how the people are rejoicing in the streets and tired of being prisoners in their own country. So bring freedom and let it reign, Lord. And bring healing to the lands, bring infrastructure back, food, medicine, work, employment. Let the communities rejuvenate and let there be such miraculous strides forward that you, in a year they won't recognize where they've come from and how much they've changed. It's going to be beyond recognition. It's going to be amazing. And Lord, we also remember in our own shore, we have political prisoners here. Colorado has a political prisoner, Tina Peters. That isn't the definition of political prisoner. I don't know what it is. She didn't do what they wanted her to do with the election, so they jailed her. She didn't do any voter fraud. She did the opposite. She documented it. And they didn't like that. And that what that judge said in the courtroom, that she was the worst criminal to come in his courtroom in the time he's been there. I mean, it's the travesty of justice that she wasn't allowed to present a real defense or give the correct jury instructions. I mean, it was just, I'm just appalled. It's not justice. That's just us, not justice. And Lord, so bring truth there. Our Lord has taught us that the truth will set us free, and he is the truth. Let the truth set her free. and let her, those who have wronged her, let those wrongs be made public, and let those who did it pay the price in our justice system. And if they don't know you, Lord, which it doesn't feel like they do, let them come to know you. Let them surrender. And so, Lord, we bring to the altar any pains we have, any issues we're dealing with, any things that we think are beyond us to fix. And there's so many things that we can't fix, and we try to fix everything, but we can't. We surrender to you, Lord, and remember with this communion what you did for us. So we ask you to bless this bread and drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are grateful and take communion now. Amen. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thanks for getting up, Joe.
Well, thanks for having me, Coach.
Appreciate you doing it, man. Hey, listen, couple things real quick. I should have done housekeeping at the beginning. I'm going to do housekeeping kind of right here in the middle. Number one, folks, Betty Perkins' dog, Dingo, her service dog, Dingo, is... Dingo isn't good. I asked my wife, should we pray for dogs? Are we supposed to pray for dogs? But it's really, really just dear Betty and her giving heart. It's just... it's tearing her apart. Dingo last night wouldn't, he went out late in the field. He wouldn't come in the house. And just remember Betty. I said to my wife, "Did we pray for healing of a dog?" Well, let's pray. I suppose we can. But I would just really appreciate all of you, man. Pray for Betty. It's her buddy. It's her best buddy. And Betty would do anything for anybody. And she hasn't slept in a couple of days because Dingo's up all night pooping and peeing and just, it is what it is. Say, "Oh, it's just a dog." Yeah. Yeah, it is. You've all had a dog. You know that feeling. You know what it's like. So please pray for Betty. Lift up Betty today. Okay. And listen, big news, big breaking news here at Coach Dave Live. Pull up Liberty Action Network. We have finally done it. No, I'm sorry. I don't want you to pull that up. Yes, we can. Click on what Mel's got in the chat there. We have finalized Coach Dave annual. Boom. This is it. I don't know how the confusion happened. Here it is. All right, look. We had Father's Day, graduations, Mother's Day, Poppy's Day, Dog's Day, everything in June. So here it is. You ready? July 10, 11, and 12. Mark it down. Make plans now. July 10, 11, and 12. Everything clarified. That's what it is. July 10, 11, and 12. And it's on the website now. Got it all straightened out. Sorry for the big fight that took place yesterday after I left. Just confusion, man. It's just confusion. That's all I know. Second thing, quickly. Where is it? I know. Coach, where is it? Where is it? Is Ohio Amy? Are you out there, Amy? Are you listening today? I don't know if she is or not. We'll talk about the venue in Florida. Where is that, Spencer? Hang on. Bear with me. We'll get into the good stuff here. Oh, yeah, it says Ohio Amy. Pull that up, Spence. I sent it to you. I think it says Ohio, Amy. The Stay Awake America Tour coming up next week in Florida, March 20 and 21. List of great people going to be there. You can live stream it. Go to Stay Awake America. What's the website, Spencer? Can you find that for me real quickly? StayAwakeAmerica.com. If you want to live stream it, like to be there. George is going to drive down. George is going to drive all the way down there. Stay Awake America Tour, okay? It's next weekend. We'll be, whoop, my phone goes off. We'll be in Florida. And it's all good. Okay. Come on. I'm trying to do some homework here on Friday. Did that, got that straight. Got that straight. All right. Cool. Let's get into it here. I don't think I've forgotten anything else. Pastor Dale sent me a great, this Friday kind of mop up day here. Okay. But I got some good stuff. Dale sent me another video on the Giants. I don't know who made this. It's pretty cool. Go ahead, Dale.
Giants were very much real, and they were around not too long ago. But these versions were the smallest of the giant. Or it seems like after the last reset, either directly or indirectly, they were slowly phased out. These were not individuals, though, that suffered from giganticism. You see no disfigurements, no deformations, just giant people living side by side with us little people. Once they were phased out to nothing more than a genetic abnormality, then the removal of them from history began, where we are told today that the thousands of years of shared history with them, all the depictions of them, all the pictures of them, are nothing more than just fables. Fables that were depicted the same in every country for thousands of years. The parasites had to remove them, though. To get us to deny our creator, they had to install all these theories like evolution, and giants would certainly go against that poorly constructed theory. It is up to you to see through the lies, though. I am here to present a different side of the narrative. It is up to you to choose to unlearn all that you have learned, because history is nothing more than a set of lies agreed upon. Question everything, friends. Until next time.
Okay, I hear you all. That's AI. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. The scripture says, help me out, Genesis 6, please. I'm not going to talk about giants all day today. Relax. Genesis 6. Bible says it, Ethel. I believe it, and that settles it. Well, there were... And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that were fair, took them wives. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive. And there were giants in the earth in those days and also after that. When the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bare children to them, the same mighty men of old, men of renown. Heard of Goliath? Folks, they weren't shocked about Goliath because giantism must have been common. Another thing just to chew on, okay? Oh, Lord. Okay, look, I got all kinds of stuff. I'm going to shut up. What do you guys want to talk about today? I'm opening it up. Now, speak now or forever. Hold your peace. And if you don't have anything to say, I got a bunch more things to jump on. Raise your hand. Come on in. Can I show you one more thing? Okay. Eileen's saying that. Eileen's running for office. Come on in, Eileen.
Good morning, Coach. I just wanted to let everyone know that that Temple Israel that was attacked yesterday is literally in our backyard where we grew up. And but unbeknownst to me, that is the largest Jewish venue campus in the world. Is that what my husband said?
12,000 members.
12,000 members.
Wow. So Eileen, can I play ignorant for us? Explain to us what happened, because many people don't understand what happened up there.
Well, now they're saying this Lebanese who was became an American citizen, came
to the
country, I believe, in 2011. Yeah. Now, remember, we also have the largest Muslim community, area, population in the United States here in Dearborn. In fact,
Dearborn,
I think they're,
Michigan. Oh my God.
Yeah, I think they're playing or the call to prayer five times a day here. So, and this Lebanese individual, he lived in Dearborn. Honey, did it say how old he was?
41.
So he took a he took his truck, rammed through the doors of the school, and had a bomb, which was, we didn't understand what the fire was caused by, but had a bomb in his truck. They took him out, the security guards. So he was killed by the either the gun or the explosion, because they said he was badly burned. And that's all we know at the moment.
Okay, so Eileen, I just heard from the Lord. My wife's been prompting me. Folks, listen, Sunday night, 7 o'clock, we're gonna do a prayer call. Sunday night, 7 o'clock, for those of you here who can join. Because we know this, we've been around long enough to know that Islam hates Christ. They hate Christianity, and there is pushback certainly planned here in the United States of America. Sunday night, 7 o'clock, join us for a prayer vigil against it, okay? We'll try to get out an email out to everybody. Mel, if you can get that up on the Liberty Action Network. Spencer, I don't know who we can get. I'll talk to all about that. But we're going to do it Sunday night, 7 o'clock. We would love for you to be there. Now look. Share it with your friends. Share with your friends. We're not going to discuss current events. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for protection. Okay, Sunday night, okay. 7 o'clock. Hey, Spencer,
is that Eastern time, Coach?
That's Eastern time. 7 Eastern time. 7. Because Johnny, I got to get my sleep. 7 Eastern time. Yes, Eileen.
My husband was just telling me that they believe that this man's family was killed in Lebanon by Israel during this last strike, you know, because Israel's bombing every place.
Yeah.
And that was his, he retaliated. But, okay. And I have to say, you know, that you can't kill millions and millions of Palestinians and, Christians. You know, pave over the ground there with all their ashes and souls and talk about building a Trump Tower there and a new resort and not pay the price.
Amen, Eileen. Look, can I say something's going to get me in trouble? Let me say it. The good guys, we, America, actually bombed a school of about 120 children, Christian children. Did you hear what I said? Christian children. It was a mistake. Quite a mistake, huh? Quite a mistake. This thing is, folks, this thing is so, so spiritually deep. I'll shut up. I'm not going to get myself in trouble. I'm sorry, Eileen. 7 o'clock. I'll be here. Michelle and I will be here Sunday, 7 o'clock, 7. Spencer, I don't know if I need to talk to somebody, how we get it up and running, or if that's something I can do. We'll cover that. Lorraine, come on in. 7 o'clock Sunday. 7 o'clock. Tell everybody.
Hey, real quick. I just got a couple of things. First, all these murders and all of these bombings and everything, these are all blood sacrifices, right?
Yes, sir.
And this is okay. And that's my first point. These are, and then you got all these kids dying. Well, you know what the Satan is like, right? They want to kill off the offspring, right? They also want to wipe out in Israel, in Palestine, and this whole thing that's going on with Iran. They want to wipe out any remnants or anything that Christians have, because with Jesus being born in Bethany and that's in Palestine, it's they're. that's the other agenda. And then the final point that I have, that I believe that was a download from the Lord, they want to bring, when they keep saying they want to bring the war here domestically, well, of course they do, because it's against, A, it's because against the Christians that is here, because we used to be a Christian nation. But now they want to bring the war between Israel and Palestine here on American soil, because there's so many, and what Eileen just stated verified exactly what I just got downloaded about 3 minutes ago.
Amen.
You know, so.
Can I look, I did some, I don't know, I don't have time. I don't have time to get into it today. Pull up number 11. Okay, I'm going to dip my toe in it, okay? Pull up number 11. Now, hey, folks. I was on the Patriot Party News last night, the roundtable. Praise the Lord, they let me do that. You know I'm censored, a lot of Christian circles. You guys know that? I don't toe the party line on Israel. End time theology. I have a different view of it. I don't even know what it is. But I'm censored in some places. I'm not crying. Just telling you the truth. And I asked this question last night on the Patriot Party News, and I'm going to ask you this question right here at Coach Dave Live. From a non, I don't have a position. If we are not a Christian nation, let's assume that we know we are, but we're not a Christian government. And I can certainly tell you this. Israel isn't a Christian government. The American government is wicked. The Israel government is wicked. This is not a fight between two groups of citizens. This is a fight between two wicked governments. Will somebody pick that up for me? Say, I get it, coach. You know and I know that your government, my government, is not representing what I believe. Why? Because they told us that there's a separation between the church and state, and we're no longer a Christian nation. Obama told us that, okay? So you don't have to give me a thumbs up. Obama, hey, Spencer, boy, I'll send you $6. Do a Google search right now, Spencer, on Obama saying that we are not a Christian nation. Folks, we're not a Christian nation. I'm going somewhere, hang on. We are, but we're not. See if you can find the video, Spence. I want you to see it right out here. There you are. Okay. Right. Top one, right? June 2006. And then we elected. Oh, go ahead.
In fact, the single biggest gap in party affiliation among white Americans today is not between men and women or those who reside in so-called red states and those who reside in blue, but between those who attend church regularly and those who don't. I think we make a mistake when we fail to acknowledge the power of faith in people's lives, in the lives of the American people.
Freeze
it. I think it's time that we join.
Every time you hear him take a breath, no, it's a hiss. That guy's a snake. That guy is a snake. Go ahead.
A serious debate about how to reconcile faith with our modern pluralistic society. And if we're going to do that, then we first need to understand that Americans are religious people. 90% of us believe in God.
Which
70%
God?
Affiliate themselves with an organized religion. 38% call themselves committed Christians. Whatever we once were, we are no longer a Christian nation, at least not just. We are
okay,
also a Jewish nation.
Okay. Huh? And so then he's going to bring all these other religions, and we're Christian, and we're Muslim, and all these. No. We're a Christian nation, except they tell us we aren't. Except in politics, somebody help me out here. Why do we support Israel? Because the Bible says we should. Well, I thought we were not a Christian nation. The Bible says we shouldn't be killing babies. The Bible says we shouldn't be supporting homosexuality. We're going to selectively say, what? Huh? Pick and choose what's right and what's wrong without the standard of it. So Ted Cruz, God bless Ted Cruz. I think Ted Cruz would be a great president of the United States. I think he's a good guy, honorable guy. But watch this. He says we have to be, these are our national leaders. He says we have to support Israel because of Genesis 12, verse 3. Scroll down a little bit and play this. I don't know how long it is. Maybe it's not. Tell me it's there. No video. Okay, hang on right there. Exchange between Carlson Press Cruz on campaign donations from America, from the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, AIPAC. AIPAC's controlling America. I thought we're not Christian. Or, yeah, not a Christian. Hang on. Making some of you nervous. And for a foreign government. However, Cruz implied that Carlson was anti-Semitic, of course, after questioning his obsession with Israel. After Carlson questioned Cruz for his motives for supporting the Jewish state. In response, Cruz shared that his motivation for supporting Israel comes from the Bible. Now, wait a minute. Are we a Christian nation or are we not a Christian nation? And if Ted Cruz is a senator, is making policy based on the fact we are a Christian nation, okay. But I thought we're not a Christian nation. Selectively, we are. Does a Christian nation abort babies? Does a Christian nation support homosexuality, transgender? You understand? They use the scriptures whenever they want to. So here's what Ted Cruz, this is Ted Cruz. Somebody called Ted Cruz and tell him to tune into Coach Dave Live. Ted Cruz says, as a Christian growing up in Sunday school, I was taught, hey, who taught him that and why do you believe it? I was taught from the Bible that those who bless Israel will be blessed and those who curse Israel will be cursed. I want to be on the blessing side of things, Cruz told Carlson. Now, let me tell you something. Why didn't the atheists stand up and scream and holler? Why didn't they scream? Hey, you can't do that. You can't do that. What? So Carlson, however, countered Cruz saying, those who bless the government of Israel? Just asking a simple question. The government of Israel that reappeared in 1958, well, that place? Those who bless Israel is what it says. It doesn't say the government of, it says the nation of. See, there you see, folks, do you see it? Carlson says you're quoting a Bible phrase you don't have context for. You're taking it out of context. You don't know where in the Bible it is, and that's your theology. I'm confused. I'm a Christian, Carlson says. I want to know what you're talking about. And Cruz says, biblically, we're commanded to support Israel. Hold on, Carlson injected. We're commanded as Christians to support the government of Israel? Great question, isn't it? When asked if he thinks God was talking about what he was talking about in Genesis is a political entity that existed for thousands of years, though it was rejected over 70 years ago, Cruz said, yes, but most people understand that the line in Genesis refers to the Jewish people, God's chosen people. Carlson says, you're saying as a Christian, if I believe in Jesus, I have to support the modern state of Israel? Cruz says, no, I'm explaining my personal motivation. Not everyone I represent is a Christian. So I don't use my faith as a reason we should support Israel. The hell he doesn't. Oh, I'm making some of you nervous. I just like the truth here. That's all. I just like the truth. I just like the truth.
Boom.
All right. I'm stymied. I'm Paul. Because if I get up here and go again, more. This is deep, man. This is deep. Come on, somebody come in. Punch me or poke me or hug me or whatever. This is your big chance. Thank you, Dave. Come on in. Save me. See, it's nervous when I'm sitting there looking at this camera and everybody's looking at me. I don't have anything to say, although I got a lot to say. I don't have enough time to say it. Go ahead, Dave.
What's important, and I've been ignorant and guilty, just like Ted Cruz, because he, when asked what scripture, he couldn't quote it. He didn't know. And so what's important and what's been very freeing for me is I went back and actually read it, right? So now I can defend my position based upon scripture, not because Coach Dave told me.
Amen,
I can defend it because I read it and now I understand it and I believe what I read. And Coach, you encourage us, don't read through the Bible, think through the Bible.
That's right.
A lot of people, I read through the whole Bible last year, Coach. I didn't learn anything, but I read through the whole thing.
Right, right. So Dave, I guess, can you be a, this is convoluted. I'm trying to make it make sense for all of us. Can you be an American and not be a Christian? Of course. Can you be a Christian and not be an American? Of course. Can you go to heaven apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ? Well, as a Christian people, we say no. No. Does a Jew get to go to heaven because of his birthright? Because he was born a Jew? Folks, this is just logic. This is just logic. And you do know, don't you, that we are in, I'm telling you, I'm sorry, we're in the Middle East for Israel. Let's just be honest. Let's just be honest, and then let's ask ourselves why, as a secular government, we are totally in support of Israel, who, by the way, we just went over there and bombed 150 Christian children on the behalf of Israel. But go on, somebody help me. Tell me what I'm missing here. Tell me why I'm missing. Tell me why. I'm sorry, man. Somebody tell me why somebody should send their son to go defend Israel. Can somebody tell me that, why we should? Because if you don't think that the war is about Israel. So I did a Google today. I tried to find out how many people. So Spencer, I don't know if you can, but I'm not. I'm just going to run out of time. I'm just going to make more of you mad, although I don't care if I do. How many of you want your son to go over there and die to defend Israel, because we're going to go to hell if we don't? Isn't that what they're saying? Come on, isn't that what they're saying? We're going to go to hell if we don't defend Israel. Come on, ML. Come on, Mel Roberts. Come on in.
I think it's the buffet Bible that people are talking about. They pick and choose what they want to listen to. And we forget about them telling us about the synagogue of Satan. Right. And there's different types of Jews. There's Judah Jews. There's a large swath of Jews. And there are people that pretend to be Jews that are not Jews. They are not Hebrews. They're not from the line of Abraham. And when we are grafted into the family, we all become Jews. So there's a lot of dynamics to what's going on here. And look, you know, 90% of our Congress in the Senate and in the House are dual citizens as the state of Israel, which is not allowed by the original 13th
Amendment.
You're
going to get me in trouble here, Mel. You're going to get me in trouble.
No, yeah, truth is truth. And that 13th Amendment for the title of nobility has been erased, and they put a different 13th Amendment there. I have the paperwork from when my ancestor, who lived next door to George Washington, went through a title of nobility search because he held a place as a Supreme Court Justice of the state of Alabama. And I have his title of nobility search. It's filed in the Alabama records here. And I looked at it. It goes all the way back to 1492. And it explains, yeah, he did not hold a title of nobility, so he was allowed to serve in the Alabama government. So, you know, there's a lot of, it's a Christian thing to do and da-da-da-da-da, but you got to look at the other piece of the buffet where it says...
Okay, Mel, so here's where I'm with you. Here's where I am, folks. Listen, folks, please see this, and I'm not trying to sow discord. We have a non-Christian government defending Israel based on Christianity.
That's true.
Would anybody counter that?
That is absolutely true. I second that. I've studied it for years.
We have a non-Christian government supporting the non-Christian government of Israel. And Christians are paying for it.
Well, they're not even Hebrews. They're not even the chosen people of the Hebrews.
I don't even want to get into that. I don't want to get into that debate because that will go on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I'm just saying, man. oh my God, have we been? Can I drop the bomb here? Can I drop the bomb? Who told you that? And why should you believe it? Who told you that? And why should you believe it? Okay. I'm going to drop this bomb on you before I leave. Pull up number eight. You want to do some homework over the weekend? I love all God's people, folks. Oh, that's not it. I thought that was a video. Yeah. Scroll down. Keep going. There is a video. Go back up, Spence. Go back up, Spencer. Who's driving the agenda? Who's driving the American government agenda? It says pastors, Christian Zionists, and Jewish temple groups. Scroll down. Who's actually driving this? Hang on. Freeze. Go back up. Who's in Trump's ear? Pastor Greg Locke, Tom Horn, John Hagee, Perry Stone, all of them dispensations. Quickly down. Quickly. I'm going to leave you this. Go spend right there. Play that 1.5 speed. Oh, I'm making enemies today.
Truth does that.
In the annals of American evangelicalism, the rise and fall of dispensationalism stands as a captivating narrative, intricately woven with threads of theological fervor, cultural influence, and political engagement. Daniel G. Hummel, in his meticulously researched book, The Rise and Fall of Dispensationalism, How the Evangelical Battle Over the End Times Shaped a Nation, unravels this complex story, tracing the movement's origins, its meteoric rise, and its eventual decline. The term dispensationalism itself may be unfamiliar, even to many Christians. Coined in 1927 by Philip Morrow, a critic of the movement, it encapsulates a theological system that has profoundly shaped American evangelicalism. This series will delve into the depths of Hummel's work, exploring the core tenets of dispensationalism, its profound impact on American evangelicalism and culture, and its enduring legacy. We will examine the movement's origins in the theological landscape of the 19th century, its key figures and institutions, and the factors that contributed to its rapid growth. We will also analyze the challenges that led to its decline, including critiques from biblical scholarship, the rise of alternative eschatological views, and internal divisions within the movement itself. Furthermore, we will explore the multifaceted impact of dispensationalism, examining its influence on missions and evangelism, its complex relationship with American politics, and its pervasive presence in popular culture. As Hummel observes, if there is one characteristic that today sets dispensationalism apart from other Protestant theologies, it is its commercial viability. We will also consider the movement's global reach, tracing its spread beyond the West, and its adaptation to diverse cultural and theological contexts. By the end of this series, we aim to provide a comprehensive understanding of dispensationalism's intricate history and its enduring legacy. We will illuminate its profound impact on how Christians interpret the Bible, engage with the world around them, and anticipate the future. Whether you are a seasoned theologian, a curious observer of American religious history, or simply intrigued by the power of ideas to shape culture and politics, this series promises to offer valuable insights into a movement that has left an indelible mark on the American religious landscape. Hummel's work underscores how dispensationalism was not merely a theological system, but a cultural force that interacted with and influenced various aspects of American life. It was also a dissenter movement and one with a populist bent, often positioning itself outside the mainstream and appealing to those who felt alienated from established religious and cultural institutions. Join us as we embark on this journey to uncover the captivating story of dispensationalism, a movement that continues to shape the landscape of American evangelicalism and beyond.
Okay, so I gotta run. You know this, folks. You know this whole thing about Israel started with when Israel became a nation again in 1948. This is new theology. Sorry. We're in Israel, a non-Christian government, our non-Christian government supporting another non-Christian government based on Christian values. What a tangled web we weave.
When you're nailing it.
I'm telling you. I know I'm nailing it. And people are probably getting mad. Have a great week. Hey, Sunday night, 7 o'clock, I'll be here. Sunday night, 7 o'clock. God bless you.